Yeah, we got Kyle Draper on the road today. He's going to be joining us in a little bit from Philadelphia's hometown. So Jay, you know, taking over as only Jay can. Jay, I thought we told Drapes to take today off. Like, he's in hometown with his family. Like, why? It's great that he wants to call us, but why isn't he having cheesesteak with his parents or something?
It must be early for him over on the East Coast. So him and the Draper clan, they must be late night owls. Bats, you know, they do it at nighttime. So he's good to call in very early, which would be 5:30. Ain't nothing cracking at 5:30 anyway, but some traffic.
Right. I gotcha. Yeah, like I said.
What are you doing at 5:30 these days?
5:30, I usually use you on the air these days.
Oh, okay, just checking.
Yeah. I was going to ask, do you know something I don't know? I guess, should I be
I'm just checking to see if you knew where you were at 5:30.
Should I be making plans? Jay, I found us something very interesting today about your 49ers. And I know you got your 49er hat on. And, of course, we're going to talk a lot about the Kings today. Right behind you, of course, is the one and only Simone. Do you know that Simone is and Kyle, who are, like, roomies?
Yep.
They
yep.
are responsible for the 49ers. Three-game losing streak. Have you heard this story?
Just found out right now.
Isn't that incredible?
Literally, yeah.
It's not my fault. It's Henrietta's fault.
That they are next to a medical, what is it, a medical, what kind of place?
Like a preparatory high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which one? Oh, back there. I know you.
Yeah.
Don't tell yourself. Yeah. You're right.
And one day,
they're all medical students. And yeah, they all wear scrubs to work, and I had to go save someone.
This is an incredible story. So this was probably October or so, right? If I remember right. And they were throwing out a facsimile skeleton.
Yes.
Yeah. And how did you know that?
Well, I can see down to the dumpster. So I saw them rolling it to the dumpster, and I said, absolutely not. Let me go get my
Well, part
my
of it
person.
Was sticking out. Was just the head or the arms akimbo or like...
Well, it's on a whole, you know, rack that can move with wheels.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of, it's very, I don't know how to describe it other than that. It's
okay.
Just, it's like hanging by its head, and it's got a hook coming out of its head, and it can be wheeled around for medical purposes.
And Simone decided, gee, I don't know how you would play this, but Simone saw that. It's like, well, I got to have
that. I'd have left that out there. Don't worry about that. Jay would be a little bit different. That thing would be at the recycling bin right now.
No, it's so cool. It's so heavy. That's the strangest thing about it is the bones are so heavy.
But they're not real bones, right? That was...
Correct. It's
okay.
Not a...
Initially, I was assuming that we're talking a like
specimen.
A real human skeleton. And there are probably, you know, laws and things, but that's okay. It don't apply to this. So you ended up saving the skeleton. You named it Henrietta?
Yeah. Well, originally Henry, Verlot actually came over and said, you know what? Those hips look a little bit wide and it might be a lady. So we went with Henrietta now and yeah, Henrietta.
Wow, this gets stranger and stranger.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, I think you got a female skeleton there. Look at them hips.
That's all Verlot. That's all Verlot.
But then, as the story goes, you put a 49er jersey on it, and that's where things took a dark turn.
Yeah, the 49ers bomber jacket that I have, that gold one.
Yeah, jacket.
And I had that on Henrietta, and they started going on a losing streak, a terror, if you will. And we promptly took that off, and they started winning again.
There you go, Jay. That's why the 49ers were losing to, who was that, Minnesota and Cleveland first,
yep.
And the Bengals.
Yep.
It was a Henrietta, the skeleton.
I thought it was Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins and company, but I'll go with Henrietta or Henry. We're not exactly sure.
Right.
You know, unisex, Henry or Henrietta, but maybe, well, don't do anything now.
Just leave it?
Just leave it.
Yeah.
However Henry or Henrietta is sitting, let's just leave it.
I'm going to have to post a picture on.
Yes.
On our Twitter. Okay.
Yeah, don't do anything.
Well, you could do nothing, and that probably is the safest thing.
Whitey, don't start.
I'm wondering if you have any Eagles paraphernalia.
I like where you're going.
I think you might.
I got a guy
who
has a lot of Eagles gear. I can definitely get something going.
Yeah.
Can we put the rest of the NFC on there, too? Dallas. Let's just get a whole wardrobe of things.
I'm totally going to ask to borrow some Eagles gear, and I'm going to slip it on Henrietta, and we're just going to
see what happens
weekend.
Right. Yeah. The way they're going, that might actually
so
be good luck
inspirational.
For them,
right? This is incredible.
Yeah. There you go, Jay. Taking care of things here.
Yeah, I like it. At the Dallas. Let's add Rams. Matter of fact, we might as well just put everybody. The Bills, Chiefs, add it all up to
everyone,
it. Yeah.
Everyone can go.
I think first you'd have to do one team to make sure it works, right? Because if you have every team on there, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose.
So who are we pinpointing for?
No, I can get Eagles gear. I can get Eagles gear.
I'm not worried about them.
Okay. Well, I mean, they're playing this weekend.
Put Baltimore on there first.
Well,
they won't play till next couple weeks. Yeah, okay. We got to go with somebody this week.
Tested. She has access to Eagle stuff. B, I would love to see how Kyle Draper would react to that.
I think he's done.
I think this is powerful and we have something very real.
Yeah. And then if they win, you know, you can say, see, I knew it would be a good luck charm for your team and we're just helping you. Kind of an anti-voodoo thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. But powerful explanation there as to what happened to the 49ers and why things went sideways for them. So no more skeletons in 49er jackets. No more worries for the 49ers.
Again, that's all I bring to the Sacktown sports table is comprehensive, conclusive evidence.
Hmm. CK916, my grandmother's name is Henrietta, LOL.
Oh.
Well, this was not a real skeleton. Okay? Yeah, this was an artificial plastic or whatever.
You knew someone had a family member named Henrietta. Guaranteed it was coming.
Yeah.
I was waiting on it.
Yeah. The Kings, last time they played Charlotte, they looked like cadavers. But last night, how about it, Jay? They played with some life. They brought it.
Man, Charlotte, come on now. I'm not getting ready to pat everybody on the back. They beat Charlotte. They're supposed to do that.
You're not excited about beating the Pistons and then beating Charlotte?
No.
Back-to-back road wins.
Expectations. I expect it to happen, especially when you're playing without Cade Cunningham. You know, you're playing against, not without LaMelo and company. You're supposed to beat the Pistons and Charlotte. Everybody else does.
Yeah. My buddy, my good friend John Dickinson calls that like price of admission to your place.
Yes.
Like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
Yeah. Nothing to get excited about except it's a relief. I mean, it's a relief to me because they started so badly against Detroit and because they played so badly against Charlotte when they were here.
But, you know, see, I think it's a relief to the panicking Kings fans. I think it's relief to those who have been ready to throw in the towel and make 63 changes. Again, I'm not opposed to making changes. I believe this team needs to make some changes. I think everyone on this show believes, you, Drapes, and me believes we need to make some changes. But I wasn't in panic mode. I mean, they're still in fifth place.
Mm-hmm.
They were in fifth place heading into, you know, the Pistons and the Hornets back to back. And they're almost like get right games. You got to beat those guys. As JD says, price of admission.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, how about tomorrow? You got Philadelphia. At Philadelphia.
No Embiid, though, now.
Yeah, that's right.
Now you're supposed to win that game.
All right.
I'm
so
with that. You're supposed to win that. But the difference of it now, Whitey, is my expectation is going into Philly, going into Milwaukee, I figured they'd probably win the Pistons. And, well, let me say this. I expected, using that word, I expected the Pistons and the Hornets W. And then I expected a loss probably at one of these two and hopefully a competitive game in the other. So now that you'll have Embiid, I'm looking for the win.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping for a win. I don't expect it, but I expect a good game from the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
How about yourself?
I'm with you. I like what you said earlier. Maybe I misunderstood you, but they don't have Embiid. Go in there and win. You're supposed to win.
Yeah.
How good are you? Are you a good team? You're supposed to be a good team. They don't have Joel Embiid, the reigning MVP. So you go in there and you win. You keep it rolling. Mike Brown said last night, you know, it looks like maybe we're, knock on wood, turning the corner. Well, really? After beating Charlotte? Now you do something tomorrow. Yeah, maybe we can talk about that, right?
Yeah, and it's the same Coach Brown who said, you know, a couple nights ago apologizing to the panicking Kings fans who expected or maybe thought they would lose to Detroit and or Charlotte, you know, on the road. It's one thing about the Kings team, and you've pinpointed this quite a bit, especially in the last two to three weeks. This is a roller coaster ride with the Sacramento Kings right now. Yeah, absolutely. Ohio players, let me get that up for you again today. I like where you're going. But I think that's the point of it right now is we're, the expectations of this team is not to get too high, not to get too low. There's going to be a couple of wins this year where I didn't expect it, a la the Minnesota game when they went on the road and beat Minnesota Timberwolves. And there's going to be some games where, I wasn't expecting a loss, which we saw in Charlotte here in Sacramento, game one of the four-game homestand. And so I think that's where we're at with this team until further proof.
Mm-hmm.
Up and down. You know, it's going to be up and it's going to be a heartbeat.
Can I lodge a complaint with you about a coworker?
Please.
Okay, because you've been here a long time.
Don't,
and I told him this, so this isn't like I'm not
said
just,
it to him in the
I'm
face.
Not, yeah, yeah,
yeah. I like
yeah.
it.
my guy, and he is my guy. Okay. I know Kyle Draper always says, you're my guy, but when he says you're my guy, watch out, because he's bringing the hammer, right? You're my guy. It's like,
But no disrespect, but...
right. Yeah. Alan Stiles is my guy, but I always listen to it. Him, and I've known Alan a long time, and Chris, you know, I used to do a show with Chris, so I always listen. I'm listening today, I turn it on, and Alan's talking about Sasha, and where's Sasha? And he's tweeting about, where's Sasha? And I'm thinking, wait, the Kings won last night 123-98. What do we care where Sasha is right now, right? They just won by 25 points. He's not playing. They don't need him. So I want
two nights more, but a week ago they needed him.
So. I guess he played a little bit Sunday, right? But he didn't play at all the last couple of games, and they won by 21, and they won by 25. So why are we talking about Sasha? Why are we wondering about where Sasha is?
So I think you're labeling Allen a panicking Kings guy.
I'm not sure. Well, he said, and I just talked to him about it on the crossover, mm-hmm. and he said people want to know, and he said they got a lot of calls, and there's a lot of interest in it. So maybe I'm wrong, but I just feel like maybe with everything going on with the Kings, that for me personally, Jay, that's not at the top of my list of concerns right now. Where's Sasha? I know where he is. He's where he belongs, at the end of the bench.
Says you. I understand where you're coming from.
I know right where he is. Yeah. No mystery.
Not hard to find him.
No.
I would say this, Whitey. I would think Allen is, you know, and Allen's a transplant. So let's start there. Allen is a transplant of coming from the Bay Area.
Okay.
Coming down here to Sacramento. And, you know, I don't know Allen's favorite team. I don't know his sports, you know, fandom. I don't know who he likes, who he enjoys watching. But
I think he's all in on the Kings right now.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, yeah, you know, sure. He's sure. Here on a daily basis. And I think that's part of it. But I set the preface of coming from the Bay Area, and he's been spoiled lately.
Hmm.
Of watching the Warriors. And so a lot of times we haven't seen the Warriors panic up until probably now, you know, mm-hmm. over the last decade or so. And I think when you bring that, you know, that lifestyle, that fandom, when you're able to come from where, you know, winning over the last 10 years, the last decade, and you come here where, you know, winning hasn't been the number one priority for the Sacramento mm-hmm. Kings. Mm-hmm. I could honestly see where he has a little bit of a panic, a little a nervousness to himself. But again, I haven't listened to Allen enough to know where his standpoint of it is. But I'm with you. I think Kings fans are looking for answers when the roller coaster drops.
Right.
And Allen probably, you know, is one of those guys. He's in a great position to dictate some of that conversation for what his job is. And maybe he's just looking for answers.
And people are calling. Like I say, he says people responded, so he got a good response. But I have to give Allen credit, as you say. He was in the Bay Area and came here. So, you know, Bob Myers, that was a great idea for him. Great job getting out when he did. And how about Alan Stiles getting out of the Bay Area and coming to Sacramento when he did, huh?
Boy, you're a cold piece right now with Alan, man. I don't know the background of where he's coming from, but I'll say this. If he believes Sasha is the answer, and no, here I go with my Kyle Draper. You know, Sasha's my guy. No disrespect, but he's not the answer.
Okay.
That's just what it is.
Yeah.
He may be a piece to, you know, the 5,000 piece puzzle, but he's not the number one answer. No. Oh. And if he was, we would have seen it by now.
Yes. Well, fingers crossed. Who knows what we'll see? That's the thing with this team. Who knows what you're going to see? We'll take a very quick timeout when we come back. Why Mike Brown believes the Kings are close to being the best Kings they can be. No Kyle Draper today. It's Whitey. Yeah, Jay. You got Simone. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. How about the G-Man there? Maybe playing a little hurt. Sounds like maybe he's playing a little bit. Hurt,
yeah.
A little frog in the throat.
Ricola.
Yeah. But such a pro. No problems.
Man, G-Man. Poof.
Yeah.
G-Man been doing it a long time, brother. That fella's blessed.
I know. We're blessed, right? To be able to listen to him all the time. Because he's razor sharp. Razor sharp. You know how it is. That's not an easy thing to do.
It is
most
not.
Most of us be stumbling, and he's like, boom, 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 even when he's not feeling tip-top. Yeah. Thanks for being with us today. It's The Drive, guys. It's Whitey and Jay and Simone, who is already working on putting a Philadelphia garb on her skeleton.
Etta, yeah.
Should we try to maybe, do you have any 76ers stuff, too? Because the Kings
I do have access to 76ers things.
What do you think, Jay? You look a little reluctant. You don't want to dabble.
Let's try it tomorrow. Yeah.
You don't
want to
dabble in the dark arts.
Action going on right now, man. You know, I'm just what happened on Bad Boys 3? La Bruja, whatever. Yeah, there's a lot going on here, man.
I'll test it out. I don't mind.
Yeah. It's just a little experiment. That's
well,
all.
I'll leave it to the Gleason and Rickford family.
I'm hearing on the chat from some, you know, Sasha has fans, which I respect and appreciate.
Of course.
They don't appreciate everything I said. I don't think it's a mystery why he's not playing. That's all.
Well, tell him why, Whitey.
Because he's not really defending very well, and he's not shooting very well. I think the Kings expected more out of him, and there's still a chance at some point that he finds his way. But bottom line is, right now, last two games, they're playing really well, and he's not playing. So what is Mike Brown supposed to do? What he's doing now is working, at least the last two games.
Yeah. I just dive back. When you have a little uncomfort, most people look to find the comfort again, you know, regain the comfort. And then next thing you know, you're looking around. You're like, okay, well, how can I change it? Let me change my pillows or the clothes I'm wearing or, you know, in Allen's case, having to jump from Golden State area to Sacramento. Like, you're looking for comfort. You're looking for something different. You're looking to make changes. And I think a lot of Kings fans who feel uncomfortable right now in the state of the Kings, even though they're in fifth place, mm-hmm. you know, and they've beaten – you know, Charlotte and Detroit.
Yeah. Take that, Charlotte.
Absolutely. I think some people are looking for the future and looking to make a move. And I get it. But I'm with you, man. Sasha, I don't know what Sasha is 100% yet because we haven't been able to see that. I don't think he's been given a lot of time. I think he's been given some opportunities. But I'm with you, man. If Sasha was, you know, the second coming of Dirk, we'd find out by now.
Yeah, he played – this is the last thing we'll say about Sasha because we really need to talk about some other players. But Sasha played against New Orleans in that loss, and he scored, what, 11 points in 20 minutes? He was 5-9, only made 1 of 5 threes. But then he hasn't played the last two games, but they haven't needed him. So why haven't they needed him? Because of, well, among others, Keegan Murray has been great the last two games. And that's great to see. And I think the great thing about the last two games – Jay points out correctly, you beat Detroit, you beat Charlotte. What's to get excited about? Not a lot, except the fact that the offense the last two games has been a little less Fox-centric, and he still had good games, but a little more balanced offense, a little more a Keegan, and that just makes his team a lot harder to guard if everything isn't going through De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I always continue to keep on saying is this team needs another creator, a shot creator, someone who's going to make everyone else around them good. And the fact that we see that from other guys in certain instances, and we don't have to put the onus all on Fox, definitely shows this team is making adjustments mm-hmm. in some form or fashion, albeit against a Cade Cunningham-less, you know, Detroit Pistons and LaMelo Ball-less Charlotte Hornet team. I understand, but the difference of it is, and Whitey, let me take you a couple steps back. I talked about, you know, Sacramento not pinpointing a lot of wins over the last decade and some change. Even if we go back 3-4 years ago, you know, going to Charlotte and going to Detroit and expecting to win those games was a far cry from where now. And that lets me know, one form or fashion, the Kings have changed. Like, mm-hmm. for me to expect the Kings to go to Detroit and Charlotte and then go to Philadelphia and Milwaukee and be competitive or maybe sneak out a game lets me know that the Kings have changed compared to, you know, 4 years ago. Oh, right. Man, please just beat Detroit. You know, we're begging to beat Detroit.
That's a great point, and I remind myself of that. But it's true. We get carried away with, oh, last year – they had home court and they were out in the first round. What about this year? But as you mentioned, Jay, in the past, 17 years, I mean, we would have killed for a year like this year. So I'm not going to panic this year if they're trending a little bit behind last year or if we're on the roller coaster. The other player we got to talk about, of course, Sabonis has been, Oof. He's been playing out of his mind the last couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, he's showcasing, you know, he's a big man to be dealt with. And quite honestly, I think he is really trying to solidify a few things for his team. And, you know, a lot of people, not myself, not you, not so much as Drapes, but a lot of people have called out Domas for, you know, pushing up that point range, you know, averaging a few more points, putting a few mm-hmm. more buckets, you know, down per game. And I don't know if he's just feeling good, top of the new year. You know, he's had a few draft beers. I don't know what Domas has done over the last week and a half or so, but he's making a statement. Maybe he's pushing for the All-Star team.
Yeah. You know, you see it in pro sports sometimes. A guy or a woman, depending on what sport we're talking about, they get their money and then they're not necessarily – they don't quite have the same edge necessarily the next year. It's human nature. Domas got his money last year, and he's playing, if anything, harder and better than he did last year.
Yeah.
The thumb probably has a lot to do with that.
Definitely.
But yeah, against Charlotte, he scored 37. I know everyone talks about this. We all know this. The numbers he's putting up right now are unbelievable, to the extent that today, you know, I was thinking, wow, these are almost like MVP-like numbers, right?
Yeah.
So I looked up Basketball Reference because they have an MVP award tracker, and it's not an opinion piece. It's based on past voting, and it's supposed to track who are the likeliest players to win the MVP award. And I thought Sabonis should be on there, but I bet he won't be. He's eighth right now in Basketball References.
Really?
MVP award tracker. Yeah,
wow.
He's eighth.
Who's right in front of him? Do you have that information, or do you
That's
just write down
that,
Domas eight?
I think seventh is, I think it's a guy that used to be here till a few years ago. He got traded to Indiana.
Oh,
for
Tyrese.
Yeah, I think he's right ahead of him.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah.
Which is, they're going to be married at the hip forever. You know, and I'm not talking about Henrietta's hips. I'm talking about Tyrese.
They're wide, aren't they?
And yeah, they are, yeah. Man. And Domas's, their career will forever be tied together. Both of them are flourishing. You know, Tyrese is everywhere that you want to look right now in the NBA. And good for him. I know he's hurt. Seems to have a hamstring, you know, is what's being reported kind of quietly a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hoping it's not as bad as it looked, and it's more, you know, tender, so to say. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a bone or a muscle that came off the bone. And
how many hamstrings have you pulled in your time?
Never. I've never pulled a hammy, man.
I did it one time playing softball, and I thought somebody shot me. You know, it's the weirdest thing.
Well,
it's
what like type of ammunition?
It just felt like I can't run. You know, you're running. Scoring the run, you know, and then it's like, I was playing.
Did it tighten up?
And it's
okay.
Like my leg won't work, and I had to play the last inning. I got to play first base. I can't move.
Should have just caught.
Yeah. No. Slow pitch softball?
Catch, man.
No.
What do you mean?
Nah.
What if somebody? See,
I'd rather be sent home than
if
catch.
You could have went to the house. If I would have seen you over there, I'd have came right at you.
I know you would.
I
know you would have. But you know,
hand me off the bone.
That was nothing. Just, you know, playing stupid softball. I can't imagine what those NBA players go through when those muscles, because they're so, you know, they're in such great shape. Those muscles are big. And then when they start popping, look out. So I'm with you. Hopefully Tyrese is okay.
Yeah, but shouts out to Domas, man. He's really stepped his game up over the last couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I think he's making a push to, you know, solidify the fact that he is an all-star. I mean, the triple-double, speaking of expectations, I almost every single time expect Domas to have a triple-double. You know, the only thing that really slows him down is other people making shots. That's kind of how I look at it. If there's a good night in shooting, Domas is going to have a triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a couple of guys who, you know, who's a little off-herder or HB's not sinking a shot, De'Aaron hasn't been hot, you know, over the last week and a half or so, then he's probably not going to have a triple-double, which, he didn't have last night because there was people who didn't hit a few shots, but they didn't really need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looks like Domas is on, as far as Basketball Reference is concerned, the MVP board. How about that? We'll talk more about that. And Drapes will join us from Philadelphia when the Drive Guys return on Sacktown Sports. Good news out of Philadelphia. You hate to see this, but it's good news for the Kings. Joel Embiid will not be facing the Kings tomorrow night. More good news out of Philadelphia. We have, standing by, Drive Guy himself, Kyle Draper, in the city of brotherly love. How are you, Drapes?
What's up, fellas? What's happening? I'm doing good. What's going on?
Good. Here's what's going on. You did a great job last night in that Kings win. I got to ask you, though, when I forget who it was, somebody, Scary Terry or somebody, made a long shot, and you said, he made that one from Durham, North Carolina. And I know that's kind of your thing. Do you look up before the games? Do you look up surrounding cities, or is that all just off the top
of
your head?
Come on. Why would you say that? You know he's a man of travel.
Well, because I don't know that I could do it as well as you do it. That's why I ask.
Dude, that's all off the top of the dome, Whitey. I have been to every state in the Union
freestyle
in America except Alaska.
Uh-huh.
And so, oh, man, I've traveled these states in North Carolina. I've been to Durham. I've been to Raleigh. I've been to, you know, Winston-Salem. Like, and so I know these places, man. Come on, Whitey.
No,
put some respect on my name, man.
I am respect, like, pointing out that I like when you do that. Because I remember last year you were like, he hit that one from Nova Scotia when you were playing Toronto. And some of those, I'm like, boy, I don't know if I would.
Did I do that?
I think you might have. Yeah.
I think I said Halifax. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to give you
respect. That's just on the spot, man. Yeah. That's totally on the spot.
That's well done. Well done. What did you think of, give us a little bit of Drape's takes here. What impressed you last night?
You know, I'm going to start with my guy, Keegan Murray. I thought, you know, Keegan, oh, I get the music.
Yeah, man, come on now, baby.
I love it. Here we go. I said it during the game last night. We are witnessing the evolution of Keegan Murray. And Katie went on the radio earlier in the week and said there's no reason why he can't be the second option on this team. And I want to see him be the first option some nights. And I thought that's what we saw last night. He led the team in field goal attempts at 18. He led the team in scoring. Like, he was the best player in terms of scoring-wise on the floor for both teams. And he has that ability. He had a little one-legged step-back fade away from the baseline. And I thought, man, this scoring comes easily to Keegan Murray. And I think we're going to see that continue, you know? There's no reason why he should have a 10-point game like he did last week against Charlotte. This dude is too good. I would like to see him get to the free throw line a little more as well, get some calls. Like, he didn't even go to the line yesterday. And so I think that's the next evolution for him. We know he can get 18 points just by, scoring the ball. But now add some free throws in it, and then you're talking a 22-point-per-game score.
Mm-hmm. How excited should we be about beating Charlotte? I mean, that's kind of, you're supposed to beat Charlotte, even though they beat you up here. So I don't know. What do you think Kings fans should make of that win last night?
No, I think it was a massive win, you know, because all season long, let's call it what it is. The team had not swept the back-to-back all season long. And that was the narrative going into last night. All right, can they win the second night of a back-to-back? A shorthanded Charlotte team, a team that beat you last week. And so I'm encouraged by what I saw last night from the Sacramento Kings. I thought they got after it defensively, especially in that second half. Scary Terry dominated us last week. Remember, he was the man. Mm-hmm. He dropped 34. He even had 15 in the first half against us last night. But they locked down, held him to only 7. He had a couple of buckets late in garbage time. And so I think, you know, you're at a point in the season where you'll take wins any way you can get them. And I thought that was a complete impressive win. Think about it, Wayne. They're 23-14.
Yeah.
And they've had some bad losses. I was talking to Doug Christie about it. He was like, Drapes, do you know if we could have beat Charlotte, if we could have beat Portland, the teams we're supposed to beat, where we would be at?
Yeah.
Really, we're looking at a 27-11 kind of team or a 27-10 kind of team. And so as much as we've been frustrated, angry, wanted changes, this team is in good shape right now.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that impressed me about the offense last night, when Keegan is scoring like he has the last two nights, it takes a little of the pressure off De'Aaron Fox. He doesn't have to take as many shots. And then, you know, you've got a more balanced offense. And I just think they're a lot harder to guard when all of a sudden you just have more guys to worry about. And Keegan becomes a guy the defense has to really focus on and worry about.
Yeah, I agree with you because, you know, we've seen De'Aaron Fox be able to score a 30 or 40.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times he got to work hard for that. He has to weed through the defense. Now you can't take your eye off Keegan Murray. And let me also add, if Domantas Sabonis is going to keep playing the way he's been playing over this last week, you're right. I mean, I thought De'Aaron Fox last night, he dropped the casual 19, but it was just a ho-hum 19 for him. All right, let me come out and hit a few threes, a couple back. Like, he didn't have to really exert himself much at all yesterday. And I think that's because, like you said, Keegan had it going. Domantas Sabonis playing with so much force. And I think that only makes this team better and harder to defend as we go, you know, down the stretch run.
Drapes, I'm glad you touched on Domas right there because me and Whitey were just talking about Domantas Sabonis. And I'm trying to figure it out, man. I don't know if he's making a push for the All-Star game. I don't know if he's just kind of hit his stride in the season. But have you noticed anything different being around him on a daily basis over the last week and a half?
Yeah, I have. You know, and just you know, watching him play, he is not – and, you know, we had this conversation about Paolo Banchero last week. And we said, Paolo Banchero is going out there and taking it. He's not waiting for anybody. And I feel like when Domantas Sabonis gets the ball lately, especially anywhere near the rim, he's going out there and taking it. He's calling his own number. I think what you're seeing from Domantas Sabonis is he's trying to punish the big opposing big man night in and night out. I mean, what he did, obviously, to Jalen Duren on Tuesday and then back it up against Nick Richards, two young bigs, promising bigs, if you will. Like, there's a reason why we call him the Dominator on NBC Sports Talent, and that's what you're seeing, I think, as of late. I think you're seeing a little more selfishness, not in a bad way either. It's not like he's going out there looking for his numbers, but when he's near the rim, he is looking to punish people. And there were times he had two or three guys on him. It just didn't matter. And, I think what may be happening, Jay, I wonder if he's feeling a little disrespected around him. I wonder if, not necessarily the all-star voting. Okay, the fans may not see what we see. Okay. But the Kevin O'Connors of the world, the John Hollinger, those guys. I wonder if some of that disrespect is finally getting to him. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to go out there and show you. And he's been showing everybody here. I said yesterday, he's the third best center in the league. You got Embiid. You got the Joker, obviously. But after that, put my money on Domantas Sabonis. That's the guy I want.
Drapes joining us, of course, from Philadelphia. I think one of the things that gets lost in this great season he's having so far is with all the offensive numbers he's putting up in the triple-doubles, he's done. Domas has a great job of staying out of foul trouble for the most part. And that was really an issue for him early on. And I don't think we're giving him enough credit for that, Drapes.
No, you're right. With the Bill Belichick say, the best ability is availability. Mm-hmm. And when you pick up two quick fouls, that can change the way you play. I mean, even look at it last week against Charlotte when he had like four offensive fouls.
Yeah.
Now you're not as aggressive on either end of the floor. And we need Domas. That's one thing he is. He is an aggressive, physical player. And so when you get into foul trouble, that takes away some of that aggressiveness. And when you have him in foul trouble, the drop-off is so tremendous. And what you want to do is highly important for him to stay on the floor. But I will say, and I mentioned this during the broadcast, can we give some love to the backup bigs? Mm. Alex Len, I thought, was tremendous last night. And I want to see more of Alex Len. JaVale McGee played well also. Every big that touched the floor last night, I thought looked amazing. But Alex Len, guys, we got to talk about just his basketball IQ on the defensive end. He was all over the floor yesterday. The way he goes up vertical when guys try to challenge, there's a reason why they brought him back, and it just wasn't to be some locker room cheer, ML Carr guy like you brought up the other day, Whitey, waving a towel and like, this dude can play, man, and he can help you. And I thought he did last night.
Yeah, he set a great screen late in the game for freeing up Malik, and I know Mike Brown gave him a high – I think you guys pointed out, gave him a high five.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about, speaking of Domas, and you guys didn't have much time to talk about this yesterday, I know, but the Netflix series, what does that mean? And I know we'll talk more about it as we see the episodes. How nice is that? How good is that for the franchise, Drapes, to have these five guys featured in this Netflix series, and one of them is a king, Domantas Sabonis?
I will say, anytime we can have our guys in something that not only basketball fans, NBA fans will watch. I mean, when you look at the Netflix series, think about how popular our F1 series was. That's one thing everybody talked about. People who weren't even F1 fans were like, oh, you got to watch this. It's really made me into the sport. And I think that's what this can do for the NBA and for Domas as well. And so the fact that, when it becomes official, he'll be a part of it. I think that's tremendous. And, Jay, we talk about superstars, right?
Yeah.
This is a chance to move closer to being a superstar, because it's not just going to be for NBA fans. It's, you know how it is. You sign on Netflix and you look and you see that top 10, that For You thing.
Yeah.
And if our guy is Domas in there, you might click it. And then it's like, oh, man, this is pretty cool. And so I think this is tremendous, for our squad to be recognized like that and for him to be recognized like that.
Drape, someone who seems to be a hot topic today. I walked into studio and And our guy Kevin Gleason was talking about the show prior to us with Styles and Watkins, and I guess one of the hosts, Alan, was talking about Sasha and how Sasha's been a big name on their show over the last week or this week, or you know, talking about why he's not playing. Why isn't he playing?
You tell me. I have no it's you know. Here's the thing about Sasha. We kind of know why he's not playing the defense. But Sasha is no different today than he was when the whole contingent of the Kings went over there to watch him in Europe. Like, that's who he is. And so it's confusing to me that you would put the full court press on this guy to get him to come over here. He comes over and you really don't even give him the opportunity. Like, he didn't even play yesterday. He was out early working out. He was on that first bus. He was getting up shots. And he's been a good soldier about everything. But this is one of the mysteries of our season. Like, this was our prize free agent, a EuroLeague MVP. This is a guy who, when you talk to the people behind the scenes, they tout because the EuroLeague is the second best league in the world, and he was the MVP. And now he can't even get off the bench? Like, you know, I think Mike will give him another shot at some point. He seems to do that with guys, but this is one of the most perplexing things of our season. I know, you know, they're winning, they're playing well, but man, and I said this earlier, tell me if you guys agree or not. I would rather see Sasha early in the season get some extended run so that it pays off late in the year, you know, so that when it comes to March and April, you have a more complete team. He's caught up. He's ready. This way, this not playing thing, I mean, you might as well send him to the G League to get some run then or something like that, because, I mean, these DMP CDs, I just don't get it. I know his defense isn't where Mike Brown wants it to be, obviously, but, man, invest in this dude now so that when it comes time down the stretch, like I said, in March and April and May, he'll be a valuable part of your team.
Yeah, I agree. He's going to get another chance at some point. We've seen that with various players. I think part of the thing that happened to him is now, you know, we thought Trey Lyles would be a backup center. He's more the backup four because JaVale and Lana played so well as a backup five. So Trey Lyles has taken a lot of minutes that I think might have gone to Sasha. And also, Kyle, as you know, as well as any of us do, we don't know what goes on in practice. And a lot of these decisions are based. So as fans, we're sitting there going, how come this guy's not playing? And sometimes it's based on things that we just have no way of knowing or seeing.
Yeah, you're right. But I will say, to add on to that, Wayne, Mike Brown went with Colby Jones.
Yeah,
man.
Off the bench yesterday.
Like, come on now.
I got to sit down, Mike, and figure out what he was that a plan thing? Was that spur of the moment? Like
14 minutes, too.
Yeah.
Like 14 minutes, like, Colby Jones.
My boy Chris Duarte, you know, outside, if Kevin Herter didn't get hurt, he might not have saw the floor because he didn't even play the night before in Detroit. And so, I'm not sure what Mike is looking at rotation-wise. And, you know, 1 minute is Colby Jones. Juan Toscano-Anderson is getting minutes out there. Davion now back out of the rotation. And so, I honestly have no idea what the reasoning is. Obviously, he has his reasons. He wouldn't do that. But I would like, you know, like I said, this guy was our big offseason acquisition, and now he can't even get on the floor. Maybe he's trying to send a message. Like you said, maybe there's something going on in practice. He's not seeing the defense in practice, maybe. But I would like to see him out there. You know, this was the guy we hyped up all offseason.
Drapes, you're in Philly now, man, and we're going to talk about that real quick because it's almost 6 o'clock and you in the house. So, I expect when my boy is talking about expectations of the team, when my boy Drapes is in Philly, I expect it's a 24-hour binge. But we'll talk about that. What's the expectations heading into the game tomorrow now that Embiid is gone for you?
This is massive. I think the Sixers team, without Joel Embiid, I think they're like 2-7 or something like that this year. Like, they could still put up points. We saw it last night against Atlanta. But I look for our guy, Domantas Sabonis, to have a feast inside. Paul Reed is a capable backup, solid backup. But Domantas Sabonis is an all-NBA performer. And I fully expect him to continue his tear that he's been on. And so, you know, if you remember last year, we came in here and they kicked our butts. Like, this is one team that has had our number recently. And so I think getting those two wins, you feel the spirit lifted with the team. You feel the vibe lifted. You know, you heard Mike Brown after the game yesterday, just talking about, you know, just the spirit of this team and how amazing it is. And so I think this next one is super important because you got Milwaukee after that. And so, yeah, man, I just think, you know, I'm expecting the best tomorrow night. And, you know, Keegan Murray, that Keegan-Tobias Harris matchup is going to be interesting because Tobias had a big game last night as well. Tobias is long, athletic, and so they sort of have similar body types. And so I'm looking at that matchup. And then how about the two fastest guys in the NBA going at it, Tyrese Maxey and De'Aaron Fox? I mean, I think this is going to be a fun one. I think it'll be a lot of offense. And, no, this should be a great one tomorrow.
All right, Drates, we need you to update us on where you are as far as the trade wins and the trade market. One of the guys you really wanted, Marcus Smart, now he's going to be out, what, six weeks with a damaged ring finger. Zach LaVine is playing well, for what that's worth.
Yeah.
Where are we right now? Where are you as far as all the trade talk in the Kings?
So if everybody was healthy, raring to go, Marcus Smart would probably be my top guy. That would be my guy. But now with this injury, you know, the finger injury, you know, but even if you did trade for him, he wouldn't be ready to play until March probably. And so it just it doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now. I'm still Whitey on the Andrew Wiggins bandwagon.
Okay.
Give me Andrew Wiggins. I think it wouldn't cost a whole lot. I think there's a tremendous upside with him. And if you could somehow unlock him from an emotional, mental standpoint, I think he gives this team that size and length on the perimeter, ability to score, can defend. I mean, he would be exactly what we're looking for. So give me Andrew Wiggins. I'm all in on the Andrew Wiggins bandwagon.
All right. It could be a little cherry on top of that deal. I read somewhere today, it might have been Tim Kawakami, that the Warriors might be convinced because Wiggins, he's still owed like $86 million or whatever. Mm-hmm. If they have a hard time finding someone who wants to take on the contract, maybe they throw in a Moody. So maybe you could get Wiggins and Moody. How about that?
To your man. To your man. Sign me up. I was like, come on. I would drive the new Mercedes-Benz EQ SUV down to San Francisco myself to get him. But those guys, come on, man. Come on. That would be tremendous. So I'm all in. Yo, whatever it takes, I'm all in.
All right, Drapes, man, before we let you go, man, what's on the docket? What's the cheesesteak spot before you get out of town? Mom and pops, they waiting on you. I know you you treating a dinner tonight, maybe a movie or so. What you got rocking back home, man? Where you putting your feet up at the restaurant tonight?
All right, so we already got the cheesesteak. I already had the cheesesteak.
Where'd you dip to?
We went to DeLisandro's, which is in Philly. That's the spot that – here's the thing about Philly. And let me school you on cheesesteaks really quickly. And the people, if you ever go to Philly – don't go to any of the touristy spots, any of the spots everybody and their mom are talking about, Pat's and Geno's and stuff you see on Food Network, because the quality isn't what it is. We went to DeLisandro's, and I'm telling you, this cheesesteak was so massive. The bread was great, the onions, the meat. It was like $9. I got something in Folsom last week, and it cost me $15, and it was like on a hot dog bun. I was like, what the heck is this? And so if you want the real, authentic Philly cheesesteak, hit your boy up, go to DeLisandro's or Explorer's Den on the campus of LaSalle University. That's a good one as well. Those are my two spots. And as for tonight, actually, my guy just hit me up. I'm with Mom and Dad right now. We're just hanging right now. My guy who lives in Sacramento, but he's from here. He's a King season ticket holder. He's saying, yo, he want to connect tonight. So, sorry, Mom and Dad, I might have to dip on you in a little bit.
All right, well, tell you.
No, I'm going to hang with them for a couple more hours, and then we're going to go. I might check in with my guy.
Tell your mom that her Twitter follower says hi, because I'm still following her on Twitter.
Dog, leave my mom out your mouth, okay? Leave my mom out
I
your mouth.
I follow her on Twitter. Yeah, and the other thing, I got one for you tomorrow. Here's Monk from way downtown. Oh, he hit that from Latrobe. How about that? Does that work for you?
Ooh, yeah, that does. That does. Look at you.
Did you look that up, Whitey?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't. No, I did not. I had that or Redding. I don't
that's
know.
Where they, that's where they bottle water at or something like that. There used to be a commercial in the 80s about Deer Park water or something like that.
Probably
from
where Latrobe, I got
PA.
It.
Yeah. So that might be where that's from.
Thanks, Drapes. Enjoy it. We'll be listening tomorrow. We'll be watching. Take care.
All right, fellas. Take care now.
All right. So he's all in on Wiggins. All in on a Wiggins deal. to the Kings. We'll take a quick timeout. Frankie Cardicelli, our Sacktown Sports Kings insider, see what he thinks of Wiggins' potential Kings deals when he joins us next. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.